This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Hey, you know what? I haven't really been doing my homework for Saturday night, but I know our next guest can tell me. Nate, do you know what the weather is going to be like on Saturday at Bills Stadium? I hear that that might be a factor in whether or not the Bills can compete with Baltimore. Hi, Nate. How are you?
So I'm good. I've literally had weathermen, fans, and podcasters alike all message me today asking where the hell I'm getting my weather information from, because all of these junior meteorologists apparently have a better feel than our local professionals here. But all joking aside, I think I saw a report this morning that queued up a lot of the conversation on Twitter this morning around a Channel 2 here locally in Buffalo. I think it's WGRZ. Pat Hammer, the meteorologist here in Buffalo, reported that there was snow and potentially some wind gusts up to 25 miles per hour possible for this weekend on Saturday. But the more and more it seems like we're looking at some different resources, the more and more it looks like it's more than likely going to be mild. And as you know, being from Western New York, guys, weather for the most part here is it's a trial by basis. Let's just wait and see. I don't think we'll have a really firm grasp on what the weather looks like until Friday morning. But until then, we'll speculate the hell out of it.
Yeah. Do you take it as a good sign, or as we should be concerned here, that I think it's fair to say that the Buffaloes did not have their A game top to bottom against the Colts, yet they got the W. Is that a concern, or are you just crediting the Colts in this instance?
It's a good question. You know, maybe I think we have the mental capacity to believe there's a little bit of both there, right? I generally feel that the Bills took on the Indianapolis Colts' best A game, short of a couple of, I think time mismanagement. Say what you will about the decision to go for it on the 2-point conversion after the Bills went off sides on their PAT attempt. That was 100% the right coaching tool and the right coaching decision in that moment. They weren't this common criticism of them chasing points. Like, yeah, they were down a score. They're chasing points regardless of whether or not they're kicking field goals or going for 2-point conversions. That was the right decision. They just did not execute, and they look way smarter if the play is successful and they get 2 points, because we might be talking about a different football game entirely. But it was very clear to me, guys, that they were playing for the field goal on that last drive rather than the win. And I think that is, coaching 101, that's where they went wrong. I was very nervous on that final drive, thinking that they were going to go down the field at the very least and tie it. But when you're playing for the tie and not the win, I think you see results that you saw on Saturday. And for me, between the level of what they did on the ground, I thought the Bills took away Jonathan Taylor. They did not take away the guy I was most concerned about, which was Nyheim Hines. I think you should count your blessings that he wasn't a bigger part of their game plan, and it was perplexing to me as a Nyheim Hines fantasy owner all season that he didn't get more touches. He averaged 12 yards a carry when he had the ball in his hand. So I think the Bills can count their blessings that Frank Reich and that Colts offense decided not and moved away from featuring any Nyheim Hines in that game.
How much did this game do for Josh Allen's confidence, do you think, Nate? Because he was the offense. And, I shudder to think what it would have been like with another quarterback in that position. I mean, for as record-breaking as his regular season was, he broke even more records in this game, given everything that he was able to do. Does that give him a little added boost here going in? I mean, aside for the one play, the almost catastrophic play that I think we would be dwelling on a lot more had it not gone the Bills' way. If Darrell Williams isn't Johnny on the spot there, that's a massive, massive play. And I guess it speaks to kind of a bigger point I was going to make later, that the ecosystem of any NFL game is so fragile that one play here, one play there could make the difference, even though Josh Allen had this unbelievable game in the postseason. You know, he fumbles that ball, and that's all we're talking about today.
You're not kidding. And yeah, we're talking way less about 325, three total scores and leading rusher and passer, and way more about that one play. And it absolutely speaks to the fragility of what the NFL is on a play-to-play basis and a week-to-week basis. And listen, you're in the playoffs. You're facing everyone's best shot. You're facing every team. I mean, how rare is it to play the last seed in a wild card weekend and then be an 11-win football team? Right? Like the NFC, there's a 7-win team hosting a playoff game, for God's sake. So, you know, I think part of that context needs to be realized and understood and acknowledged. And I think on top of that, too, the other one that I really want to point to is, in particular with the Colts, is, you know, this is a football team on top of being an 11-win team. This is a team that, for the most part, as much as I liked the matchup between the Bills and Colts, I mean, they beat some impressive teams. This was not a cakewalk. It never was a cakewalk as much as we wanted to make it into that. But in terms of Josh Allen, I there were times where the game plan at times did frustrate me because I felt like maybe they were trying to establish a run that there was no need to establish. I thought that they, you know, maybe mind-numbingly tried to go after the strength of that defense, whether that was pride or the game plan. I didn't love that thought process. I thought when they got back to the things they've been doing well over the last month and a half, they moved the ball without much pushback from that Colts defense. So for me, going into this week, this is a very similar matchup, guys, in terms of the physicality on the defensive side of the football, particularly up front. Some really athletic but young and untested linebackers for Baltimore. But all in all, I thought Josh Allen's performance was really important because I think ultimately, guys, one of the things we have to remember is this was a get the monkey off the back type of moment. I do believe the Bills were playing slightly tighter than they had been playing the previous month. I think the reins may, and maybe this is something to look forward to this week, but I think the reins maybe are coming off this offense a little bit after getting the victory that they really needed. They needed a win, guys. And I think part of the game plan early was recognizing the fact that there were some nerves, that they were gripping the ball a little tighter than maybe they would in a regular season game. And we really need to get a win to feel like we are who we are and we're confident in that. I think they'll play way freer in this upcoming matchup against the Ravens.
Nate, this is a Bills offense that certainly is not designed around the run. However, you do need two running backs. And now with the news that Zach Moss is going to miss the rest of the postseason with the ankle injury, Sean McDermott's not going to tell us. But who should go up? Is it Yeldon or do you entertain Antonio Williams? Your thoughts on that, Nate?
It's a great question. I wonder what the mindset ultimately becomes. Because for me, it's Antonio Williams strictly because of his ability as a north-south runner, at least what we saw in that Week 17 matchup against the Dolphins. It really is going to come down to weather, I think, guys. If this ends up being we need a guy that we can rely on to turn around and hand the ball off and become a physical north-south team, that is Antonio Williams. If they believe that they do want to remain a pass-first team, the weather gives them the opportunity to do that, I think T.J. Yeldon gives you your best opportunity as a pass catcher out of the backfield. So I believe that both will likely dress. I believe they'll end up dressing three running backs on top of potentially Tywan Jones. And maybe we're not talking enough about Tywan Jones. There could be some potential that they like him and that they only dress two running backs and they keep Tywan Jones as sort of their emergency back. I think that's totally viable as well.
Nate, you mentioned earlier the physicality of the Colts, the physicality of the Ravens, the idea that this matchup may be very similar this coming weekend for the Buffalo Bills as to what they just faced against Indianapolis. I'm nervous about that because I think Indianapolis manhandled the Bills on both the offensive and defensive lines on Saturday's game, and I worry that the Ravens might do the same thing defensively. If you're the Bills, do you employ a similar strategy against the Ravens as you did against the Colts and try to eliminate their best weapon, their run game, and force Lamar to beating you with his arm?
Yeah, I think so. The problem I have right now with how the defense is currently constructed is they really, even if they wanted to sprinkle it in, I don't think they have the the manpower at outside the cornerback two position to run man coverage. And that's the issue for me is I don't ever think the Bills are going to all of a sudden, even if they were to get a lockdown man cover corner on the other side of Trey White, do I think that there'll be some sort of man heavy team in the future? I think they'll always be principled in that cover four and cover two looks that they like to run a lot. But I do believe that if you're Sean McDermott, Leslie Frazier, you'd like to have the ability. They miss Kevin Johnson, guys. Kevin Johnson was the guy that you could bring Levi Wallace off the field, put Kevin Johnson out in the field, and run some man looks. They have not had that luxury. They don't believe Josh Norman is best equipped, which he is not, to go out there and run man coverage. And we know when they wanted to run man looks last year in 2019, those were the times they took Levi Wallace off the field and put Kevin Johnson back onto it. So in my perfect world, with the wide receiver weapons that team throws out there each week, I would love to see some two deep man coverage underneath against this team and force them to beat you with man coverage. I love Miles Boykins, big Notre Dame fan I am, but I'm not fooling anybody by saying he's not beating any man cover corner, even that currently exists on the roster. Same with Willie Snead or even Marquise Brown, who flashes once every 5 weeks. So for me, their weapons don't scare me. Lock them down. Now we saw what Jack Doyle, the tight end, did. Had the highest Pro Football Focus, the PFF highest PFF grade of any player in the playoff round one. Was Jack Doyle at 90 something was his PFF grade after that game. And the Bills really struggled against the tight end in that one. Guys, I do believe that even though the Ravens offense utilizes the tight end even more than the Colts do, I think it was really hard for those pass defenders to get a gauge on Phillip Rivers' arm strength. It's sort of like if you were to be in a Major League Baseball game and throw the ball underhand at like 40 miles per hour, those guys wouldn't even know what to do with it because they're so used to seeing a 100-mile-per-hour fastball coming down the plate. When you throw a changeup like Phillip Rivers was throwing, there's a couple of lofted balls where the timing was just way off. Like, I'm thinking of that Micah Hyde played on the sideline where he should have had an interception, but the ball floated in the air like it was in slow motion. And I think the timing of just how poor his arm strength was really threw some of the Bills defenders that were in primary coverage. So I suspect with a better arm in Lamar Jackson this week and a guy who likes to test teams deep more than the Colts did, I do believe there'll be some better opportunities against this Ravens team in the pass game. But I'm definitely worried about Mark Andrews, and I'm worried about the power run game of the Ravens, especially if the weather and precipitation are any more than what the forecast is talking.
Can we go a little bit deeper with that, Nate? Because you mentioned the arm strength of Phillip Rivers, and what I thought Rivers did an unbelievable job of doing, being a veteran of this league and somebody who's played against that type of zone defense that the Bills play as often as he was, just finding seams, constantly finding the seam and finding that open space and delivering the ball in a timely fashion, while keeping himself clean and getting that protection from a great offensive line in Indianapolis. I don't know that Lamar has that kind of accuracy or ability or intelligence to be able to decipher what the defense is giving him, which is why I'm a big proponent of them trying to make Lamar beat them with his arm.
Yeah, I totally agree. And nothing against their weapons, but like they don't even have a Michael Pittman Jr. At that wide receiver in Baltimore. So, and I'll give you guys a really good example of how well cerebrally that Phillip Rivers was able to win, because he didn't win with arm strength. He won with accuracy and ball placement, but he won between the ears. There's a play in particular that I wanted to highlight, and it was the Jack Doyle touchdown down the left sideline. It was the deep touchdown. It was their first of their run in the fourth quarter. But basically what happens on the play is the Bills are in quarters coverage. So each corner and each safety kind of bail back into quarters look, so they each get a quarter of the field to cover. On the play, I thought the Colts used tendency to beat the Bills rather than a miscommunication. A lot of people thought, well, why was Jack Doyle wide open? It looked like a miscommunication between Matt Milano and Tre'Davious White on the play, where Milano thought when he turned around that there should have been coverage there. The problem is I think that in those quarters looks, Tre'Davious White, if he doesn't see an immediate threat, is very aggressive at trying. He picked off, and the play I'm thinking of against Seattle, where he picked off Russell Wilson, that's the exact same play that they were beat on against the Colts. because he didn't throw it to the guy that Trey White thought he did. And what Jack Doyle did great on that play was they did a little out and up. So Trey thinks, okay, that guy's covered. He's just doing a simple out route. I'm going to go to this post route and leave my zone. That's what ended up happening. And Matt Milano's thinking, okay, if he goes up, I've got help behind me. I'm staying as a flat defender. So what they did really well, in my opinion, was use some of the tendencies and aggressiveness of the Bills' best players against them and some of the leverage against them. And that play was a really good example. So I don't think Phillip Rivers' arm, like, it looked really poor, but he did a great job of getting the ball quick, out quick. And I think it was one of the things that neutralized the Bills' defensive line. They just couldn't get there, even with the blitz, because the ball was coming out in under 3 seconds every single time. And I think that's the advantage a guy like Phillip Rivers has with this long in the league. He understands anticipation. He understands he's got to throw guys open. And with that arm strength, getting the ball up as quickly as he could, as he did, made it very difficult to defend.
He is on the Bills Radio Network. You can also catch him on WGR on Saturdays. Nate Geary, our host here, our guest in the sports bar. Nate, you know, we got to get your opinions on some other things going around in the league here. Was that the last we will see a Ben Roethlisberger, in your opinion?
I don't think so. And I think it's the monetary ramifications of that. If he retires, he still counts against the Steelers' salary cap, and they can't really get rid of him. They're in a really tough financial spot with Roethlisberger. Frankly, they should really look to maybe move on. Listen, they are in a cap crunch. They're going to lose Bud Dupree. They're likely going to lose Juju Smith-Schuster. They're likely going to lose Alejandro up front as well. Villanueva is one of their best offensive linemen. Marquise Pouncey is aging. There is a number of issues with that team, including Eric Ebron, who signed a one-year deal there. So, like, they're going to lose pass catchers. They're going to lose offensive linemen, and they're going to lose their second-best pass rusher. They're in a really tough spot, and I think Ben Roethlisberger comes back, but, man, what a fall from 11-0 to go 1-5 over your last six, and then ultimately be a team that looks like you might be the third in your division coming back around for next year.
Nate, do you think we'll see Doug Peterson roaming the sidelines for the Jets in 2021?
Sorry, I was just saying a prayer. Yes, I hope so. Holy cow, would that be amazing. And listen, this is nothing against Doug Peterson. I just don't think he's maybe he'll be a good head coach, and maybe they bring in Anthony Lynn or they bring in somebody to call plays. But if he's calling plays, somebody, I think it was Joe DiBiase of our station, tweeted out like, hey, you know, maybe Peterson's an option if Dable leaves. I'm like, no. I don't want anything to do with that. I think Peterson would be a home run hire for the Jets if you're a Bills fan. The guys that they've been interviewing, Joe Brady scares the crap out of me. Otherwise, you know, and Matt Campbell's another one. They couldn't even get an interview, the Iowa State coach. I think there are plenty of good options for the Jets, and the most ideal one, if you're a Bills fan, has to be Doug Peterson. That would be Adam Gase-ish for me.
Yeah, we talked to Sal Capaccio last week on the, okay, we should brace for Dable leaving. Does this mean that Ken Dorsey automatically gets promoted? And Sal says, hey, hold on, time out. If Dorsey is the guy and he's the best, sure, but why limit yourself? You can go, this is a job that would be a hot commodity. You can pick literally anybody. Do you subscribe to that thought that maybe the Bills should think bigger here in regards to their next offensive coordinator?
I think no question. I think that if you're Sean McDermott, you likely, in all likelihood, this is the ideal world, is that you could get a former head coach that likely doesn't have a future in the league as a head coach again. Because I think they want a level of continuity at the offensive coordinator. They don't want to be, hey, listen, this is a good problem. This is not a problem we're used to having, which is replacing offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators because they're genuinely good at their job and coveted across the league. So this is a new problem we're seeing here in Buffalo, and I welcome it moving forward. But I do think if you're Sean McDermott, you want a guy that you know is going to be there, that is going to run the system that you want to run and is best for your quarterback, and that is going to be there for the long haul, that isn't going to leave, you know, in a year or two because they're the next young, hot thing. The problem is where does that guy exist? Anthony Lynn is a name that really, I think, speaks to me a lot based on the work he did with Justin Herbert last year. I suspect he'll be a head coach again someday. Bill O'Brien, I want no part of. Adam Gase, I want no part of. So you start to get to this list of, Well, is the best candidate Ken Dorsey? And my argument, I think the best candidate is in-house, and I think it's Chad Hall, the Bills wide receivers coach. Hmm. He's really well-liked in the room, not only in the court and the wide receiver room, but the offensive room in general, really loved by the players, and is a name that I keep hearing from people inside, that I keep hearing from other beat reporters as a guy that people really should be giving way more respect and credence to, that they're simply not. Chad Hall is the name that I would tell all of your listeners to familiarize and acquaint yourself with, because in my opinion, based on the things that I've been told, it sounds like he might be the guy with the fast track for that job. And then there, maybe you can build a year or two with him, three at the very most, before he potentially moves on to get other jobs. But for me, guys, I think they want an ideal candidate, likely is here for the long term. And the only way to do that for sure is to get a guy that's flamed out as a head coach. And are they the ideal candidate to call plays? I don't know.
Nate, awesome stuff. Great insight as always. And look forward to the call again on Saturday evening, Saturday afternoon. Nate Geary, Buffalo Bills Radio Network, WGR. Have a good one, bud.
Thanks, gents. Appreciate it as always. And most importantly, go Bills.
We'll do it again next week. Chad Hall, interesting. I mean, guy who's 34. I don't even remember him as a wide receiver. Played with four different teams that really didn't get all that much. But this is his first job. Okay, so there isn't a resume here that says, oh, he called plays here. Or he was, a wide receiver coach, Buffalo Bills, is the most that he has gotten. But Nate is right. That is a name that we should familiarize ourselves with, that it might be Chad Hall as the next offensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, and I still love what Sal said last week. Why would they limit their search to just internal candidates? It's going to be a sought-after position if Brian Daboll does indeed take a head coaching job and leave Buffalo. You could get, the pick of the litter. And it doesn't sound like right now Bieniemy is rearing his head as a head coaching. I mean, he's interviewed, but you're not hearing, oh, he's definitely getting this job. He's on the fast track. You're not hearing that about Bieniemy.
It's something, yeah, you would have hired him, or at least you'd have a handshake and, okay, do your thing with the Chiefs, and maybe it's not unfortunate that the Chiefs are still going on.
Right, but you're just not hearing anything. And so I guess my thing is, if Bieniemy stays in Kansas City and Daboll leaves Buffalo, you have the most sought-after offensive coordinator opening in the league. So you should get the best guy for that job, and he may not reside within the four walls at One Bills Drive. Great way of looking at it. And kudos to Nate for bringing up Chad Hall. Yes, I mean, to see his wide receivers buying him a truck for Christmas. I mean, like they love that guy. He's got their ear.
He is the brother of Matthew Stafford's wife. Isn't that kind of odd? Oh, great.
Football is family,
yeah,
Gene.
Yeah, that's what they tell us. Yeah.
All right, let's get to NFL appetizers next in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bills defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier is interviewing. We'll tell you where. And Philadelphia making a move from Doug Peterson. That's on the way and more. Next with NFL appetizers in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.